It did not take him very long. He was by nature a decisive man, and although this was one of the great decisions of his life, and he knew it, he made it quickly and did not agonize over it. He did not think of the men who would die. He had learned long ago not to do that. The men came here ready to die for what they believed in, for their homes and their honor. And although it was often a terrible death, it was always an honorable death. And no matter how bad the pain, it was only temporary. And after death, there was the reward. The decision was clear. It had been there in the back of his mind all that night as he worked, remembering every moment the sight of his blue Virginia flags going up that long slope to the top, almost to victory. So close he could feel the world over there beginning to give like a rotten brick wall. He could not retreat now. It might be the clever thing to do, but cleverness did not win victories. The bright combinations rarely worked. You won because the men thought they would win. Attacked with courage, attacked with faith. And it was the faith more than anything else you had to protect. That was the one thing that was in your hands. And so you could not ask them to leave the field to the enemy. And even if you could do that, cleverly, there was no certainty they would find better ground anywhere else, not even certainty that they could extricate themselves without trouble. And so he had known all along that retreat was simply no longer an alternative. The way a man of honor knows that when he has faced an enemy and exchanged one round of blows and stands there bleeding and sees the blood of the enemy, a man of honor can no longer turn away. So he would stay. And therefore he would attack. The rest was clear as an engraving. So natural there seemed no alternative. There would be no surprise now. Speed no longer mattered. So motion meant nothing. The enemy had been attacked on both wings. He had reinforced there and would be strongest there. So the weak point was the center. The enemy had high ground on each wing, but in the center there was a long slope, so he would be softest there. And if you hit him there with everything you had, all the artillery firing to prepare the way in a pont à feu, if you sent Pickett's fresh Virginian straight up the center with Longstreet's hand, the guiding force, the dominant force, you would drive a split in the center and cut Meade's army in two, break the rotten wall, and send the broken pieces flying in all directions. So that if you sent Stuart's cavalry around to the rear, he could complete the rout, in among the wagons to finish the wreckage. Yes, Stuart raw with wounded pride and so anxious to redeem himself that he would let nothing stop him, and neither would Pickett, who had come in that day so desperately eager for battle. Lee knelt and began to pray. His engineer's mind went on thinking while he prayed. He could find no flaw. We will go up the center and split them in two, on the defense no longer, attacking at last, Pickett and Hood and McLaws. By the end of the prayer, he was certain. He felt a releasing thrill. This was the way, as God would have it. Face to face with the enemy, on grounds of his own choosing, end with honor. The weight of it was gone. He felt a grave drowsiness. The horse nuzzled his ear. He smiled and rubbed the delicate nostrils. Then he began to drift off. He should go into bed now, but he was not comfortable lying down. He could not breathe. It was far better to sit in the night alone with the beautiful horse standing guard above him. It was not so bad to be an old man, drifting. Soon to see the light. He wondered what it would be like to enter the presence. They said there would be a fierce, blinding light. How could they know, any of them? He wondered. Do you see all the old friends? At what age will they be? Will I see my father? But it was all beyond him, and he accepted it. He had done his best. The Lord knew it. The heart thumped twice, a grave reminder. Lee nodded, as if at a summons, and prayed to the Lord for a little more time. After a while, he slept. He dreamed of little girls dancing a cotillion. Then he dreamed of horses, herds of great horses, thundering by through black canyons of cloud. Beyond his tree, as he slept, the first blood light of dawn was rising up the sky.